And now for another perspective, we've got Justin Wolfers. He's an assistant professor of business and public policy at the Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania. Professor Wolfers, welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
So there have been a bunch of new articles analyzing research on the death penalty, arguing that there is a deterrent effect. How do you process the debate at this stage over whether the death penalty is a deterrent?
I think the debate so far has been actually quite conclusive, but conclusive about proving that the empirical evidence here is very inconclusive. The truth is, after poring over the data, it's just plain very hard to know. And Farai, let me give you an intuition for that. You know, I do a lot of statistics and econometrics, and normally I like to tell people that statistics can help solve many of our problems. This is a case where, if you think about, say, a state like California, the number of homicides that occurs in California in any given year, it can be 2,500 one year, 1,500 the next, 3,000 the year after. So it's not only a very, very high number, but it goes up and down a whole heck of a lot. Then if you can think about the number of executions that occurs in California, it'll be one execution one year, three the next, zero the next. And if one were looking to see, say, as many of the proponents claim, that each execution deters, say, four homicides, then they're looking to explain a very, very small proportion of the ups and downs in the homicide data. And so trying to sort out which of the ups and downs are due to prison policy, which are due to police, which are due to variation in executions just turns out to be an incredibly difficult task.
I'm thinking here, though, specifically of the research by Roy Adler and Michael Summers, who looked at U.S. executions between 1979 and 2004, compared those to murders the year after the executions, and they found that when executions increased, the number of people murdered dropped off. Are you saying that that's just a statistical anomaly?
Yes. It's no coincidence that their work was published in the Wall Street Journal, which has a very political editorial board. So just to clarify for your listeners, they looked at the aggregate number of homicides in the U.S. year to year, and they found that it went up when the number of executions went down. If you looked at an earlier sample, the previous 50 years, you in fact find the opposite. Or alternatively, you could take their same approach and look at what happened to the homicide rate in states that actually had zero executions. And it turns out, in states that don't have the death penalty, the murder rate over the last 40 years has pretty much moved in lockstep as with states that do have the death penalty, suggesting that the difference between the two, there isn't much of a difference between the two, and therefore not much that the death penalty can explain.
So when you think about these professors publishing an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, and you mentioned that they are highly politicized, they're considered by many to be a very, very highly politicized conservative op-ed page, what does that do to the court of public opinion? How much do things like op-eds and academic studies have to do with how people actually legislate and how courts actually make decisions?
The public certainly look to academics to try and sort out some of these questions, like does the death penalty deter? The only people who have it, well, the people that have the largest appetite for trying to answer the public on that, unfortunately, are those with ideological opinions, which often they'll dress up as science. You can go back to the 2000 presidential election debates when President Bush was asked if he was for or against the death penalty and why. He said he was for it because he believed in deterrence, but he actually made an even stronger statement, which is he said he thought that was the only reason to be for it. If that's the case, then there really should be greater scientific effort trying to understand what really is going on with respect to deterrence. Unfortunately, of course, at the moment, I think the science is a little too infected with ideology.
What about the debate over methods of execution, like lethal injection, which is currently being examined as to whether or not it is cruel or whether it's efficient? What's the status of that debate in your mind, and how much does that influence the general debate over executions?
I think there's essentially two debates there. One is a legal debate, and this is the debate literally the Supreme Court's having, which is the method of injection, is lethal injection cruel and unusual punishment, which is prohibited by the Constitution. There I'd simply defer to the doctors. You know, this is not a domain that you would want economists or statisticians wandering in. There is a second question, which is, would different methods be better or worse at deterring criminals? And again, here the evidence is not very useful, but I think at the very least, there were such a thing as a deterrent effect, and therefore if one were on the pro-death penalty side, presumably we would then want the method of execution to not only be painful but public, because that would maximize, I would guess, its deterrent effect.
You're talking beheadings in the courtyard type of executions.
This is the logical conclusion from the view that what we're trying to do with the death penalty is deterrence. Again, it's very hard for the evidence to speak one way or the other on that, and I think there's nothing particularly credible that can be said one way or the other. There's an interesting legal issue here as well where the two intersect. In the 1977 decision examining whether by the Supreme Court reinstating the death penalty, or it might have been the 72 decision suspending the death penalty, the question of whether execution was cruel and unusual punishment came up, and at least one of the justices was of the view that if executing a criminal did not have a deterrent effect, then that would necessarily make it cruel and unusual. And so that's a way in which the deterrence debate can speak to some of these questions that are arising.
Well, Professor Wolfers, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Justin Wolfers is an assistant professor of business and public policy at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania.